Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at WashableSofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit WashableSofas.com today and save. That's WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit WashableSofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage, day number 11 in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. And segment number 3 is where we bring you the courtroom. Let's go there now.
Thank you. The objection is overruled. The exhibit is admitted.
May I please court, Your Honor? Just very quickly, when we left off, States 441, now admitted into evidence, this was a text you received from the defendant, is that right?
That's correct.
And the date on that is September 26th?
September 26th, yes.
Is that 2021?
It is.
Is this the text of that text that the defendant sent to you?
It is.
I only have a couple more questions for you. Before I get to the end, one question I wanted to ask you was, what was the defendant's cell phone usage like?
He was always on his phone. Always on his cell phone, always on his office phone. He would quit one conversation and grab another. Sometimes he would have both phones to his ear.
Would it be unusual for the defendant to go anywhere without a cell phone with him?
Absolutely.
I want to play for you what's been admitted to evidence as States 297.
this input, please. Recognize any voices in that video?
I do. I hear three voices.
And tell me who you hear.
I hear Paul Murdoch, Maggie Murdoch, and Elliot Murdoch.
And how sure are you?
I'm 100% sure.
Can I have the elmo one more time, please?
I'm sorry.
Going back to States 441, can you read just that one sentence starting where my finger's pointing that the defendant sent to you?
The worst part is knowing I did the most damage to those I love the most.
Thank you, Dr. Burrows.
Cross-examination.
Good morning.
Ms. Griswold, you were you hired by Alec to work at the law firm?
I was hired by the firm, but he was in one of the meetings that, and it was my understanding that I was going to be working for him.
Right. And so you interviewed with him?
I did.
And you've been working, you worked with him for?
About 9 years.
9 years.
Yes, sir.
And one second, left one. Moved back to Hampton because your father was ill?
My father was ill, yes, sir.
And then, so you moved your family back, you and your husband? And
right, my husband and my daughter and I moved to be closer to my dad and help my mom with him.
And you got a job working at the law firm, and did you work exclusively for Mr. Alec Murdoch?
Most, yes. I mean, there was other attorneys that I might do some work for here and there, but primarily Alec was who my attorney was.
And if you needed to take time off for personal matters, would you just have to run it by Alec?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
And he put family first at work, did he not?
Most of the time, yes.
And he encouraged you to put your family first?
Absolutely.
And I think your husband had a heart attack. He was in the hospital for quite some time.
Yes, for 5 weeks before he ultimately passed away.
And I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
But Alec encouraged you to do all you needed to do to care for him and don't worry about work. Isn't that right?
Yes, he did.
And you didn't miss a paycheck?
I sure didn't.
Is he a good person to work for?
It was hit or miss. I cared about him. I respected him. I loved him. You know, you can't be that close and work with somebody without having, you know, developing feelings for them and their family members.
Right.
But it was hard to work for him sometimes. He was a bit erratic, and yeah, I, for all the respect and love I had for him, it was still very difficult to work for him.
I think your description was he was like a Tasmanian devil that would come through at the end of the day.
He would.
And he was frenetic?
Yes.
Okay, and but people came to him if they needed something, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
And so he had a lot of people coming, and did he ever say no to anybody's request?
He didn't know the word no.
Right. And, well, he would want to schedule his appointments around his family's commitments, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, if the Buster and Paul had baseball season, he'd be sure to block all that out off his calendar, wouldn't he?
Most of the time. Sometimes he didn't tell us about personal matters or things where they were going until the day of or whatever, and we would have to reschedule stuff. But if it was on the calendar, yes, he was going to be there for anything that the boys had going on.
He put in his work life family first. Is
yes,
that right?
That's correct.
You would agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that.
And you got to know Maggie, did you know?
And, yes, sir.
And she was thoughtful for you on your birthday and anything you had going on?
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think you mentioned the Ferris trial in Columbia. That was in Columbia, wasn't it?
That was, yes, sir.
And you went to the trial, didn't you?
I did.
And you remember Alec going up on a Sunday, and he spent the night in the hospital because his dad was going to have surgery the next day?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it seems like it's been a long time, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Maggie came up on Monday and stayed with him during the trial, right?
I never did see her. Our paths never crossed because I was kind of in work mode, but I know she was there.
Right. And he traveled frequently with Maggie on work trips, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And he would take his family to conventions and when they would have work, right?
As far as I know, yes, sir.
And Alec wasn't the type of guy that would go off on a guy's trip. His trips were family trips, weren't they?
I mean, I don't know that without a shadow of a doubt, but, you know, I know a lot of his trips were family related, something with him and Maggie, or him and Maggie and the boys and their significant others.
Right. And he was real close with Maggie's family too, wasn't he?
Yes, it appeared that they were very close.
And if Mr. Brandstatter's, Maggie's dad, couldn't get in touch with Alec on his cell phone, he would call you and ask, where's Alec?
Yeah, he would call myself or Christy and say, hey, can you get Alec to give me a call? Yeah.
And they communicated quite frequently, didn't they?
They did.
And did you meet Mr. and Ms. Brandstatter?
I didn't meet them until, we had a, Mr. Randolph
Order of the Palmetto?
Yeah, and that's when I met them. That was the first time I'd ever met Maggie's parents.
And if Alec was in even a deposition, and if Maggie or Paul or Buster would call, I mean, he would walk out and take the call, wouldn't he?
I never was present with them. I've heard rumors of such, but I was never present with him at depositions and mediations.
Well, in the office, if he was in a meeting, he would always take their calls, wouldn't he?
Absolutely, yes.
Never say, oh, gosh, you know, tell her I'd call her back.
No, he never put off calls with his family. He always talked to them.
Now, you were talking about the night that you learned that Maggie and Paul were murdered, that you thought when you first got the call that it was about Mr. Randolph.
Correct.
And we're talking about Mr. Randolph murder.
That's correct.
Alex and Randy's dad.
Yes, sir.
Because it was well known that he had just been put back in the hospital and his condition was not well.
Yeah, it was my understanding that at that point the family was making arrangements to bring him home and hospice may be involved. And so obviously we were all expecting awful news.
And he, in fact, did die on Thursday, June 10th, I believe.
I believe so, too. Yes, sir. Right.
And after that, you said that, you know, the whole law firm rallied around not just Alec, but Alec and Randy and their families.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's
what... And we rallied around each other because we were scared. We were worried.
Right. And then after, I guess there was like a tidal wave of media surrounding the law firm at some point in time, wasn't there?
Yes, sir.
And so y'all had to, you know, be careful with comings and goings, and that was kind of scary, I think.
It was. We ended up having to lock the front door because they would just walk in and just overwhelm the receptionist. So it was became in like a daily habit there for a few weeks. So we had to end up locking the door.
And as a result of Maggie and Paul's tragic murder, Alec Murdoch became front and center of a media spotlight, didn't he?
He did, yes, sir.
And it wasn't, I mean, and there were cameras outside the court, outside the office frequently, right?
There were, yes, sir.
And there were cameras out at Moselle?
I think so. I didn't go out there, but I'm assuming they probably were.
And all the buzz was about Alec Murdoch and what happened to Maggie and Paul, right?
Yes, sir.
And all the while you were around Alec on occasion and you noticed his demeanor and he was grieving greatly, was he not?
He was grieving and he was also very humble. He had changed dramatically. Afterwards he was more mellow and he would come in the mornings and instead of yelling Christy and it and telling us what to do, he would actually come to our desk and say hello and check on us and we would in turn check on him. So he was very different after the murders.
And he had a hard time working after the murders?
Absolutely, yeah, as you could imagine.
Sure. And you're aware, and you got to keep up with his whereabouts, but he spent a lot of time with Maggie and Maggie's parents?
Yeah, he would tell me that he had weekend plans, and I would hear him on the phone with his in-laws and making plans to meet up for the weekend.
And he stayed in Somerville a good bit with Buster, with Maggie's parents?
As far as I know, yes, sir.
And he and Buster traveled up to the upstate, to Lake Kiwi or something? Are you aware of that?
I remember him saying, you know, the family had property or something up there, his in-laws, and they were all getting together.
And you're aware that Alec would not spend a single night after Maggie and Paul were murdered at Moselle?
Yes, sir. I knew that.
And when he was working in Hampton, he was either commuting from Somerville, Edisto, or staying with his brother Randy, or... something like that.
I knew he was either staying with family or, you know, he was coming back from Somerville or Greenville from being with the in-laws, but that's all I knew.
But he never spent one night more at Moselle?
Not as far as I know, yes, sir.
Now, you were asked questions by Mr. Waters about the Ferris matter. Was the furthest thing from your mind after murder of Maggie and Paul, right?
Yes, sir.
And that you didn't do any more about that after Maggie and Paul's murder, right?
That's correct.
But I think you also said that you conveyed your concerns to Jeannie Seckinger and that she essentially took over.
That, yes. When I gave it to her, I knew she would. She told me she would take it from there. And so I know she was, I gave it to her and that was that.
And so there's really nothing more for you to do on the Ferris matter after you turned it over to Jeannie, right?
Correct. Okay.
And then you were in this Alec's office one day looking for a file and you stumbled across this canceled check.
Yes, sir. It must have been underneath this the file. I wanted in between that and something else. So when I lifted my file, it fluttered to the floor.
And the and you felt, I think you talked to this jury about how this whole thing put you in a bad spot, and your daughter said you need to dust your resume off or something like that.
That's
right?
Correct. Yes, sir. I was worried. I was hoping I was wrong. I was hoping that my gut feeling was wrong and that what I was looking at was not money being stolen and that he was not doing that. I was hoping I was wrong, but at the same time, I was scared to turn it in because what if they, you know, look into it and it's nothing, there's nothing going on, and then, you know, it disturbs the relationship we had working together, and, you know, what would I do? Would I be able to stay at the firm after turning him in on something so bad that he could lose his job over it? So I was concerned. I was concerned for my livelihood. I'm a single mom with a teenage daughter.
And nothing happened to your job, right?
No, sir. Nothing happened to my job.
It's Alec who lost his job, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And you mentioned in what's in evidence as defendant's exhibit number 441 is a text that you received from Alec, right?
That's correct.
And it's was it just to you, or was it you and
me and Christy, his other secretary.
The other secretary. And the date is Sunday, September 26th. At 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon?
Yes, sir.
And you mentioned it was from rehab?
Yes. As far as I knew, it was rehab. I assumed it was probably one of the steps of reaching out to those that you hurt and telling them you're sorry.
And Alec was in rehab?
Yes, sir. As far as I know, he was.
Okay. And I want you to read this to the jury, the whole email, if you don't mind,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Sure. Hey, it's Alec. I'm finally feeling a little better each day. I'm over the worst, but still feel like I have the flu. Real weak. I have been worried about y'all, and I'm sorry I didn't get to tell y'all myself. I know both of you been hurt badly by me. I know it sounds hollow, but I am truly sorry. The better I get, the more guilt I have. I have an awful lot to try to make right when I get out of here. The worst part is knowing I did the most damage to those I love the most. I'm not real sure how I let myself get where I did. I'm committed to getting better and hope to mend as many relationships as I can. You both are special people and important to me. Please know how sorry I am to have made you part of my misdeeds. I hope you are doing as well as possible. I love you very much. Please tell Cheryl and Haley hello, and I'm sorry. All my love.
Thank you. That's all the questions I have, Your Honor.
Anything further?
Very quickly, Your Honor. Mr. Griffin asked you about whether or not you were worried about losing your job over these Ferris fees. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And then he asked you, the defendant lost his job, right?
That's correct.
After the murders, but before September, the defendant still had his job, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He still had his law license, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
You said, in response to defense counsel's question, that people came to him if they needed something,
absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. He was trusted by everybody, and they knew that if they needed something, all they had to do was reach out, and he was going to help them.
He was trusted by everybody. Did you trust him?
I trusted him. Yes, sir.
People came to him for anything, like all these clients right here?
Yes, sir.
He was a prominent lawyer?
Yes, he was.
One of the most prominent in the region?
Yes.
And all of that came to an end in September 2021 when all of that came out, did it not?
Right. When I found the check, I knew that he had lied to me and that he'd stolen that money.
Thank you. You may step down. You may call your next witness.
Johnny James for the state. State calls Michael Gunn.
Mr. Gunn.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you. You have a seat on the stage.
Adjust that microphone, adjust your seat. If you'll state your name again and spell your last name, please.
Sure. It's Michael Gunn. Last name is spelled
G-U-N-N. Good morning, Mr. Gunn.
Good morning.
Just barely morning. Where are you from, Mr. Gunn?
From Columbia.
Born and raised?
Oh, grew up in Conway, South Carolina.
Oh, grew up in Conway, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
All right. Where do you work?
Work for Forge Consulting.
Right. And what is Forge Consulting?
Forge Consulting, we are a settlement planning firm based primarily in Atlanta. I run the Columbia or South Carolina office, and we work with people, plaintiffs and plaintiffs' attorneys, to help them really try to take the settlements that have been recovered for them and try to make them make these settlements last a long time. These people normally have been in catastrophic injuries or wrongful death of a loved one.
So your company works with law firms who represent people who have been hurt, and you, if they get a little bit of money to make them whole, you can help make that money last a longer time. Is that an accurate summary of what you just described?
Yes, sir, and that's the goal.
All right. When did you first start working for Forge Consulting, or do you work for Forge Consulting, or did you found it?
I'm one of the principals in Forge Consulting. We started in 2003. I've been there since 2005.
And what is your actual, you said you're a principal, what is your actual title at Forge Consulting?
I would be a principal and settlement consultant.
Okay. And so do you work directly with the attorneys yourself in arranging some of these settlements and structures and things of that nature?
Yes, sir, I do.
So if you could, what exactly is a structured settlement in a summary form?
Sure, kind of a primer on it. Essentially, a structured settlement is when it's only available to those who have been, first of all, to those who have been injured or involved in a wrongful death or workers' compensation. It's really a method for them to try and save money. And what I mean by that is when they get the settlement, they have an opportunity to put some of that money into almost like an annuity. And that annuity would pay them over time, much like a paycheck, because a lot of these folks have lost their jobs, they've lost a loved one, or they have bills to pay. And so by doing that, it allows them to receive that money, but not only do they receive the funds, they do receive them tax-free from the federal government.
Totally tax-free?
Totally tax-free, with interest.
Now, who actually funds these annuities that ultimately get paid out to those who've been hurt?
Sure. Well, generally speaking, the annuities are funded by the insurance company that's paying the claim or the defendant themselves. That's generally speaking.
And when they pay that claim, where does that money go in order to fund the annuity? Does it go to Forge Consulting?
The only way it would go to Forge Consulting is if the check was made payable to that insurance company, and then we would forward the check on to that insurance company.
So in that instance, you wouldn't actually be really taking the money. You'd just be stuffing it in an envelope.
We'd be a mail carrier. We'd just be a mail carrier, correct.
And I apologize. We're both speaking pretty quickly here. Madam Court Reporter can only record one of us at a time. So if I'm asking a question, try and let me complete it and then answer thereafter.
Yep.
So to clarify, the only instance where you would get any money is if the check is made out to an insurance company, you stuff it in another envelope and send it on its way.
That's correct.
But ultimately, the money comes from the insurance company to whoever is funding this annuity. Is that correct?
Generally speaking, yes.
And the people funding this annuity would be another insurance company or some other firm of that nature. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So that would be the structuring of monies awarded in a lawsuit to the person hurt. What about monies awarded to the lawyer in a lawsuit? What about an attorney's fees? Can those be structured?
They can be.
All right. And how does that process work?
It's a very, very similar process. It's a similar outcome. The difference is the attorneys would be deferring it, but when they received the funds, they would have to pay the tax at that time. But it is a way to defer the taxes like that. But it's the same scenario. The money would have to come from the defendant and or its insurance carrier. And there would also have to be language included in settlement documents, et cetera.
But it couldn't come directly to the attorney, could it?
No, sir. That would be constructive receipt, and the IRS would consider that taxable income.
constructive receipt, and they would consider it taxable income. So can you explain that just a little bit more for me?
Well, if they receive the money, then the IRS is going to consider that taxable at the time it hits their account. And therefore, undoing that is going to be quite a bit of a problem.
And so then they would get taxed on all of that money, correct?
That is correct.
As opposed to just the amount of money that they wanted to get that year?
That is correct.
And you indicated that it would be deferred taxation. So to use an example, let's say I represent somebody on a big suit and get $1 million in attorney's fees. If I were to structure it, I could have that stretched out over 10 years, $100,000 a year, and then am I hearing it correctly? I wouldn't get taxed on $1 million all at once. I would get taxed on that $100,000 a year each year for those next 10 years. Is that a good way of describing it?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. And as a result, pay less in taxes.
That's the goal.
Are you familiar with an individual by the name of Richard Alexander Murdoch?
I am.
Do you see him in the courtroom here today?
I do.
Can you point him out for me?
Wearing a checked shirt and a blue jacket appears.
Let the record show that he identified Mr. Murdoch. When did you first meet Mr. Murdoch?
Probably 20 years ago, 20 give or take a few years, 20 years ago. Probably at a convention or a continuing education seminar, since our primary market are plaintiff's attorneys.
And what was your first impression of Mr. Murdoch?
Very jovial, friendly. Never met a stranger. Just a, you know, generally nice guy.
Did you have occasion to work with Mr. Murdoch more going forward from that point in time?
I did. As generally speaking, as we get to know our clients, you know, a lot of times friendships get born out of that, and you get more comfortable dealing with them. So yes, I worked with his firm a great deal. Did a lot of work with his firm. I worked probably five cases with Mr. Murdoch.
Now, in terms of those at his firm, did you work with Alec on a lot of cases or relatively few cases compared to his partners?
If you compare it to his partners, relatively few.
So most of the time you were working with the other folks at PMPED, but Alec maybe just a handful of times. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did Alec hold any other positions other than his role at the law firm that caused you two to work with one another
sure.
frequently?
Sure. At one time, he was the president of the Association for Justice, which is a voluntary organization of plaintiff's attorneys. And so we'd be very closely together at trial lawyer events and things of that nature, CLEs.
And is there a shorthand for that organization that used to be applied to it?
The
SCAJ. SCAJ. As part of your professional relationship with Alec, you know, what sorts of things would y'all do together?
Again, usually these would be at events. It was never really a one-off. It was usually events. Golf, dinner, lunch, things like that. Just, you know, things that you would do when you're at a Hilton Head.
About how many times would you say you golf together?
I'd probably say I'd put the over-under around 15.
15?
Yeah.
And you'd go have dinner, maybe some drinks together at the conference, correct?
Not every year, but we would see each other. You know, dinner was probably few and far between.
Did you ever go hang out with Mr. Murdoch at Moselle or any of his other properties?
No, sir.
Did he ever come and hang out with you in Columbia for dinner or drinks or anything like that?
It would be business-related.
Did you ever go to any sporting events with him, like a Gamecocks football game or anything like that?
I never went with him. I may have seen him there, but never went with him, no.
There's a lot of folks in the stadium at Williams-Brice on game day.
Depending on the season.
Did Mr. Murdoch ever meet you in Columbia and deliver some checks to you and tell you, hey, these are for the clients for structures or anything like that?
Absolutely not.
Did you ever meet with him halfway between Columbia and Hampton and get checks from him?
Absolutely not.
Did you ever call him and say, hey, can you bring those checks to me so that we can finance this?
Absolutely not.
And would forge under any circumstances accept client money checks personally in order to fund an annuity for them?
No, sir.
And so if you received or saw or reviewed an instrument made out to Forge, and it said in the memo line, money for client or something to that effect, would that instrument be legit?
Well, it would be returned to the person that sent it to us with an explanation as to why we could not take it.
You would not take it?
No, we would not take it.
In working with Mr. Murdoch, did you ever discuss options with him about how to structure fees for his clients?
Generally speaking, we have those conversations with attorneys, and I do remember he inquired about it, kind of went through what you would need to do, how you would need to do it, kind of the process in which it's done. So, yes.
So, did you explain to him some of the things that we've explained to these folks from around the county here today?
It's the same canned elevator speech I give to everyone. Just, this is how this, the mechanics of how it works.
Were there any specific cases that he came to you and asked you about whether he could set up a structure?
I don't recall if there was a specific case. I do remember there was a case where we sent some options over one time and nothing ever came to fruition. It was just, here's what you can do.
Do you recall the name Dion Martin?
I do recall the name Dion Martin.
What, if anything, do you recall about Dion Martin? Was that one of Alex's cases?
It was. What I recall about that case is that I got a signed option from plaintiff's counsel, signed by Mr. Dion Martin, or I'm assuming Mr. Martin, saying he wanted to set aside X amount of dollars. I'm not really sure exactly what that amount was. And he wanted to do it to an annuity. And so annuities, like anything, it's kind of based off of stock market and whatnot, so they can kind of go up and down. So there's a time window in which you are able to purchase that. If not, the rate may go up, the rate may go down. And so I consistently sent emails to Mr. Murdoch as well as his paralegal, Annette Griswold. I would say at least four, maybe five emails saying, hey, this is going to expire. This is going to expire if you don't fund this now. And after getting no response, after multiple weeks, we just closed our file.
So you did open a file for Mr. Martin, correct?
We open a file for every case, yes.
For every case, and I want to drill onto that a little bit. What prompts you to open a file?
Well, part of it is so that we can remember if the attorney calls us and says, hey, I've got a case I'm about to start working on, or we got it, and they don't give us any information because they might be in the car, we can say, okay, this is the John Smith case, and I've got that tied to an attorney. And so that's how we do that.
So if you get so much as a phone call saying, I want to talk to you about so-and-so, you make a file.
That is correct.
Even if it's just one conversation.
I always ask for a name.
Do you ask for any other information?
I ask for a great deal of information, but oftentimes that takes a little while to get. But the name is what I need first.
Are you aware of a boat collision that occurred in early of 2019 in relation to Mr. Murdoch or his family?
I'm aware.
And are you aware of generally any litigation that resulted from that case?
I'm aware.
After that boat crash and that litigation began, did you have any further conversations with Mr. Murdoch about structuring any fees that he might earn?
We had general conversations, generic conversations, but we never had any in-depth conversations.
So you never asked any specifics beyond the general canned speech?
It was, this is what you can do, and this is what you can't do.
Did he ever bring you any fees and say, hey, I would like to structure these or anything to that effect?
No, sir.
Do you recall in and around September of 2021, receiving a phone call from Lee Cope?
I do.
And what generally, well, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Mr. Cope called me, asked me if he could trust me, asked if he could trust my office as much as he trusted me, let me rephrase that, and said, I'd like to give you a name of some cases, and could you tell me what y'all have done for those clients? He gave me probably 10 to 12 names. I remember I was standing in my driveway, so I'm furiously writing down these names, hoping I could read my own handwriting. And I got back with Mr. Cope and told him I didn't have a file open on any of these people.
None of them?
Not a one.
Not a single name that he provided to you?
No, sir.
Did they follow up with you and provide you any additional names?
They did. The next day, he called me again, gave me another list of names, went through that list. The only name that stood out was the Deion Martin that I referenced earlier.
Did they ask you about where Forge Consulting did its banking?
They asked me if we banked at Bank of America, and I told them we had not for the last 4 years.
Was it the last 4 years, or was it a little bit longer than that?
It was 4 to 5 years, somewhere in that range.
I jumped ahead a little bit. You are generally aware of the events of June 7th, 2021, is that correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
When did you first become aware of the murders of Maggie and Paul Murdoch?
Probably early morning, on June 8th, probably 5:36 in the morning. I got a couple of missed phone calls.
What did you do after learning of the murders?
Other than being stunned by it all, I let my wife know, called a few other people. I let my business partners know.
Did you reach out to anybody in relation to Mr. Murdoch or Mr. Murdoch himself?
I did reach out to one or two of his law partners, just to express my condolences and you know, obviously asked to hope it wasn't true, but that was confirmed. And then I waited a day and reached out to Mr. Murdoch and just let him know we were thinking of him, didn't have the words for what to say.
Had you ever met Paul or Maggie?
I had.
Did you know Paul very well?
I didn't know Paul very well. I knew of him, but I didn't know him very well.
How well did you know Maggie?
I knew Maggie, you know, pretty well. She would oftentimes, I believe when Buster was in school in Columbia, she would text me and ask me where he could get his hair cut and where he could get his pants hemmed and things like that. And I was kind of like her local Google. So, you know, but it was funny because I'd always respond to her.
You're in Columbia, Buster's in Columbia, she's in Hampton, and so she's texting you with questions.
Absolutely.
Did you attend the funeral for Paul and Maggie?
I did.
Did you see Alec there?
I did.
Did he say anything to you?
Not at the funeral, but after.
Did you go to a wake afterwards?
I did.
Did he say anything to you at the wake?
He told me how much Maggie had loved me and my wife and our family.
Between that wake and September of 2021, did you see the defendant, Mr. Murdoch, on any other occasions?
I saw him in Hilton Head in August. That was the only time I saw him.
Where did you see him?
At the SCAGE conference in Hilton Head Island, the annual convention. That's all attorneys and vendors and whatnot attend.
But at the lawyers' convention in Hilton Head?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. Was anybody with him?
His brother, John Marvin, was with him primarily, but others were around, law firm, members of the firm.
What was the scope of your interactions with Mr. Murdoch at the convention?
We hung out a little bit or said, you know, exchanged pleasantries, hugs, you know, still, you know, couldn't believe what had happened. And we did go to dinner. I went to dinner with him, his brother, and the majority, I don't want to count them off, of his law firm on, I believe it was Saturday evening.
Now, we've talked about Forge Consulting. Are there any subsidiaries of Forge Consulting or alternative names or other companies associated with Forge?
We do have two other companies that are under the Forge umbrella. One is Advocacy Trust, which is a trust company, and the other one is Advocacy Wealth Management, which manages, you know, it's a veteran SEC-related wealth management firm.
Do you have any Do you have any subsidiaries that are just named Forge?
No, sir, we do not.
Did you ever tell Mr. Murdoch that he could use the name of Forge Consulting or Forge for his own purposes?
Absolutely not.
Prior to September of 2021, did you have any knowledge that Mr. Murdoch was using the name of Forge for his own purposes?
No, sir.
Showing you a document. It's already in evidence as State's Exhibit 335. This document says it's a Bank of America statement. Is this an account statement from a Forge Consulting account?
No, sir, it is not.
On the Elmo for the Jersey Sea at Richard A. Murdoch, Sole Prop, DBA, Forge. That's not one of your accounts?
No, sir.
No further questions for this witness.
By the defense.
Good afternoon.
You had some formal positions with the South Carolina Association of Justice?
Yes, sir.
What were those?
Did some government affairs, lobbying work for them.
Okay, yes, on a contract basis?
And as an employee and as a contract.
Okay. And at one point in time, Alec Murdoch was the president of the South Carolina SCAJ?
Yes, sir, he was.
And were you employed at the time or contract lobbyist?
Yes, sir, I was employed at the time, yes, sir. Okay.
And part of his duties, well, I guess he was on the board for a period of time as well, right?
That's correct, yes, sir.
And the SCAJ board and the president would meet in Columbia quarterly, monthly? How often?
They would meet in Columbia probably twice a year. They normally met at the convention spots or the CLE spots, and then one was always by telephone. But usually the president was, even the telephone call, the president would come to Columbia.
And when he would come to Columbia, you remember Maggie would come with him and spend the night on those business trips?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. I don't know specifically for that for the SCAJ stuff, but I do Maggie spend the night in Columbia.
But you saw them traveling together in Columbia. I mean, you said you would see him in Columbia on business reasons. Was the business reasons his membership on the board and then?
I would say, generally speaking, most of the time when I would see him, it would be because of that, yes, sir.
And then he and Maggie came to you and your wife's wedding in New York, right?
They did.
And my understanding is the big day came on the day of a big blizzard.
3 feet of snow, yes, sir.
And so you had to delay the wedding a day, right?
We did.
And you got to spend a lot more time with Maggie and Alec?
And all the other guests, yes, sir.
Right. At that point in time, your wife became friends with Maggie, and y'all became pretty good social friends?
I think so. I mean, we still didn't really hang out much after the wedding other than professional settings, and that could have been just because of the distance between the towns. But, yeah, we keep in touch, no doubt.
And then every year, I think you mentioned there's an annual convention at Hilton Head of the, we used to call it trial lawyers. But
I still do, too.
Yeah. Of the trial lawyers, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's usually at a hotel. It used to be at the Westin at Port Royal, I think.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
I think maybe they moved it. I don't know.
Marriott now.
Yeah. So, and there that there would be seminars, you know, during the day, and then there'd be socializing in the evenings.
Yes, sir.
And it was a family event.
Very much so.
And Alec would bring Maggie and Paul and Buster.
Every time.
And you got to see him interact with his entire family.
I did.
And he was a family man, wasn't he?
By all accounts, yes, sir.
Okay. And you went to Maggie and Paul's funeral?
Yes, sir, I did.
And And then after the funeral, you went out to Moselle?
Yes, sir.
And I'm sure, what was Alec's demeanor?
He was a broken man. You could tell. He was very upset. He was very upset.
And then you saw him a few months later at that convention at Hilton Head?
Yes, sir, I did.
And you said he was with his brother John Marvin?
Yes, sir.
And his son Buster was there too.
I believe that's correct, yes, sir.
Now, John Marvin's not a lawyer, right?
He's not.
Is it unusual for John Marvin to come to the lawyer convention?
I had not seen him before, no, at the convention, no.
Right. He was there supporting his brother?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And people were trying to lift Alec's spirits up and support him during that period of time?
I think so, yes, sir.
Right. Okay. Right. 1 second, you know.
I don't have anything further. Nothing further from the state.
Thank you, sir. Call your next witness.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. If you'll have a seat on the stand. If you'll state your name, just that microphone there, and spell your last name for the record.
Brian Hudak, H-U-D-A-K. Agent Hudak, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Where are you employed?
South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, also known as SLED.
All right, and what is your duties there?
I'm a special agent in computer crimes.
All right, and just briefly, what do your duties entail?
Conduct forensic examinations, cell phones, computers, vehicle infotainment modules, any sort of electronic device that can hold evidence. Also, I'm an evidence custodian for the unit.
Just a moment, sir. I have the jury go to the jury room for a recess. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to evacuate the building at this time, so we'll be in recess until we discover what's going on. We'll couple this with a lunch break until 2:30.
That wraps up the third segment of coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh today. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slip covers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At washablesofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabe, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabe brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.